I grew up in this kids and student ministry at Brazos Point Fellowship. My small group leaders encouraged me, loved me, and helped disciple me and grow in my walk with Jesus. After having experienced that, I decided I wanted to join the student small group ministry and impact the lives of young girls who might be facing some of the same challenges that I did at that point in my life.
So being a part of our small group, we saw the connection that we had with our leaders and how much they poured into us. That relationship's really special to me, and I can go to them for anything. So I realized how important it was that I wanted to pour into other people and help them grow in their faith.
All of our small group leaders have had a really big impact on our lives. They've continuously gone the extra mile for us, sat down and talked with us, and really made it personal for us in small groups and for everyone in our small group, not just us. So we stepped out and decided that we really wanted to get involved with kids ministry.
When it comes to being a parent and making disciples of your kids, we recognize that it's our responsibility. We're the primary disciple makers and we own that. But we also know that it's a team sport and we need all the help that we can get. And so we're so thankful that we've had so many people invest in our girls and so many great small group leaders that have come alongside them.
I love my preteen small group leaders because they're kind and I look up to them and I get to pie them in the face. And I love working as a volunteer in the preschool room with the two-year-olds.
I'm Aubrey and I'm a student small group leader. I'm also one of Carson and Cora's small group leaders.
I'm Carson.
And I'm Cora.
And we are Cooper's small group leaders.
My name is Cooper and I'm a preschool small group leader.
Being a leader, I'm able to plant God's word in the hearts of these students, and that will serve them well as they begin their journey into the independent adult world. It also definitely helps whenever you have an army of people who serve God surrounding you and teaching you the word.
Seeing that we do have an impact on these girls has been a really good reminder for us to stay true to our faith and continue to grow so that we are giving them good examples and giving them the right knowledge that they should have as they continue to grow for Christ.
I love being a preschool volunteer because I can just make sure that all the kids are comfortable in the room, and then we get to go down to clubhouse, and then we can come back and do the lesson, and just it's so much fun. I think that just because we're younger, that doesn't mean that we still can't teach others and help them learn.
That's so true. It doesn't matter what age you are. From day one, the very first service we had 20 years ago, we started this motto, everybody serves. Everybody does serve, and there are different places to serve, but especially we're excited when you get to that point where you're serving, where you're helping, and becoming a disciple maker in the service that you have. We had a parent commitment and baby dedication at both campuses this past month, and one of the things that I challenged these parents, a couple of whom grew up in this church, and their parents raised them, and now they're raising their children here. One of the things I challenged them to do was not to overcommit their kids to a lot of activity just because their kids were gifted and talented. I said, of course they're gifted and talented. They bear the imago Dei, the image of God. All your kids are gifted and talented. But there's so much more to their life than just endless activity just because they can, just because they can develop some of those skills. They were made to love God and serve His purposes and join Him on mission. And so are you. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a parent or not. You are gifted. You're talented. You're creative. You're smart. You're made for more than just activity, more for doing other things. You know, we see this even in the broken mess of our sin. We see that people bear God's image and they're gifted and creative. There's a couple of young men who grew up in our church but spent a bit of time in jail that I've had conversations with, and it was fascinating as they told me just some of the creativity they experienced inside jail, some of the beautiful art that some of the folks were capable of creating. One talked about how he became a tattoo artist, just with the things that he could find in there, inside, on the inside. Another told of how they got around the smoking ban when they were no longer allowed to smoke cigarettes in county jail. They created this way to smoke chewing tobacco with foil and sticking it in electrical sockets and something about the plumbing. It was fascinating, all the things he told me. I said, man, that is so creative. It's amazing what people can figure out when they've got a lot of time on their hands, you know? And I said, do you not see God's image coming out in them? I mean, they're bare. The image reflects the creation, it reflects the creator. They are made for so much more, though, than just figuring out a way to get around the rules or make good use of their time while they're there. They are made to love God and serve his purposes. So it's no surprise that they're creative. It's no surprise your kids are gifted and talented. It's no surprise you are too. We are all made for that. We were made for so much more than just the activity that we have that we can get into. And our Christian faith is more than just a forgiveness of our sins, though it's that. It's more than a guarantee of life after death. It's more than a set of beliefs. It's more than a code of conduct. It's more than comfort received when we're going through tough times that every one of us will go through sometimes when the wholeness of our Christian walk is just being comforted by others because it's such a hard time. But eventually, we're made for more. We're all made for more. We are made to love God and to join his mission. And when you understand that mission, when you really begin to understand that mission that you were created for, you'll begin to feel its pull on you, its demand on you. And you'll have this desire, this motivation to get to work on it. That's what we've been talking about in this message series, Made for More. There's a video that our media team and some others on our staff produced just to give you an idea of the pathway of the next steps of the Christian life. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you've seen it, but I want to show it one more time. We've already talked about the discover phase and develop phase. Today, I want to talk about deploy. So watch the video and pay special attention to that third phase.
Following Jesus is a journey, next step by next step. We're not just wandering aimlessly. No, we move with direction and purpose. That kind of movement needs a plan and a path, a GPS for the journey. The disciple-making pathway is your GPS as you journey with God, next step by next step. A follower of Jesus is also called a disciple. You become a new disciple when you discover a relationship with Jesus. At this point on the path, we guide you into next steps as you continue to discover new life in Jesus. With Jesus, you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. As you continue the journey, you become a growing disciple and you continually develop as you learn to know and do what God says. At this point on the path, you guide you into next steps as you continue to develop in your life as a disciple. But here's the deal. Every disciple grows to understand. It's not about you. As you continue the journey, you become a disciple-making disciple and you deploy as you go, living on mission with God. At this point on the path, you guide others into their next steps as you continue to share what you have discovered as a disciple. Next step by next step.
So this disciple-making pathway that we've introduced, this is your GPS. It's your guide on taking next steps with God, and we want it to be simple. It helps you take those next steps and discover what those next steps are. And hopefully by now you've begun to, if you've been with us, you've begun to see where you are on that. Look at the triangle again. Okay, it's very simple. We start out at the discover phase. Some of you are very new to the faith, and you're still in that first phase of discovering more about Jesus. And we're going to be loading up more tools on that to help you discover more about your relationship with Jesus. This is the phase where we guide you. It's kind of like this morning when you come here and you learn more if you're new to the faith. But at some point, you begin to own your faith. You begin to be a self-feeding disciple, and it's to where you have to feed you and you guide you. We can't guide you that much more. We can provide you with tools, and we will, but you're in that develop phase. And I just want you to think of each of those phases, each of those arrows being a street with lots of houses on it that you go in and out of, different tools, books, classes that we offer online or some that we offer here or a podcast we recommend to listen to. That will be you guiding you, and then when you get down to that third phase, it will have disappeared. But you saw it. When you get down to that third phase, that develop, this is where you deploy. where you take what you've learned and you begin to guide others in that. We released, but thinking back to develop, we released a class last week. Most of our work right now is on that develop phase, and we released a class last week called Developing Faith in Jesus. And we hope every one of you will take it. A couple of hundred of you did this past week. We could tell that it was downloaded. But we want all of you to take it so you begin to develop in your faith. And that will give you kind of a baseline of what it means to you guide you. But it will also point you to a lot more resources. We loaded up 15 resources on that pathway last week. And you can pick and choose from where it best fits you. So you do that now. You can access that class by going to brazospoint.com/develop. Or you can go to the BPF app and look at the bottom of that app where it says personal growth. The very bottom, just tap on that and then look for those barbells where it says develop. And you can go in and take that. Well, today we're going to focus on the deploy phase. At some point, as you've been guiding yourself, you begin to guide others in discovering faith in Jesus Christ. We describe this, as we said, the develop phase, but also it's where you guide others. I think the biggest thing that keeps us sometimes from sharing our faith and helping guide others is we think we have to reach some kind of stage, some kind of level of excellence or maturity at discover or develop before. But just remember, you just saw a video at the beginning of a fifth grader and a couple of 12th graders and a young woman who hasn't been out of college that long. And they've been deploying. They're already deployed. You can be deploying early on, even as you continue to develop. You don't have to reach this certain level. I want to show you what I mean. Give you an example in the Bible of someone who did that. If you have your Bible, open it to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen. If you don't own one, we'd love to give you a Bible. You can pick one up at the Welcome Center on your way out. We also have Spanish translations too. If you have a friend you want to give that to. If you're looking for John, it's in the New Testament, which we said often, it's in the New Testament, which is 3/4 of the way through your Bible if you have a Bible like this. And it's the fourth of four gospels or narratives about Jesus, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You'll find it there. Now, this is one of these stories we're going to look at that we come back to over and over again. We've preached from this story many times through the years at Brazos Point because of all the truths that it has about Jesus and about people. There are layers and layers of this story. It's called the woman, we call it the woman at the well, that we won't even try to get into. The main thing I just want to point out to you is a couple of things about it so you can see how quickly we can move from discover to develop to deploy, how that can happen quickly in the life of a person. So here's the story. Jesus and his disciples, they were traveling north in Israel on their way to the northern part of Israel, an area called Galilee. And on their way through there, they passed through an area called Samaria, which is where most Jews went around because they didn't like the ethnic minority living there, the Samaritans. They hated them. But Jesus loves everyone. And so they went through this area. As they were approaching a town, Jesus sent his disciples on ahead into the town there in Samaria to buy food to continue on their journey. But he decided to stop and rest at a well outside of town. While he was there, a lady came with her jar to collect water because if you don't have running water in your house, you've got to go get it somewhere. And it's where a lot of the world still lives this way, even today. So this woman comes out there. To make a long story short, she met Jesus. She realized that he was the Son of God. And she discovered faith in Jesus with him, just sitting by the well and talking to him. But the story doesn't end there. Well, I want to pick this story up in verse 27 of John chapter 4. It says, just then, after she kind of discovered this is God, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah or the Savior? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Do you see what happened? This lady discovered faith in Jesus. She skipped over development and went straight to deploy when she told folks, come see this man. Folks, this is deploy. Write this down in your message notes, okay? This is deploy. Invite someone to go along with you. That's it. Don't overcomplicate it. You're traveling. You're taking your next steps with God. Bring someone along with you. You can guide yourself and guide others at the same time. That's what this woman did when she said, come see a man. Could this be the Messiah? And they came out of town and made their way toward him at the well. Let's pick up the story in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, more became believers. Jesus stayed in that town, and he taught them for 2 days. And these people, they both discovered faith in Jesus, and they began developing that faith in Jesus, all because that woman deployed her new faith in Jesus as a brand new follower of Jesus. This can happen with your friends too. Most all of the life change stories we hear about and you hear about here at Brazos Point happen like this. You're growing in your faith in Jesus Christ and you tell someone about it. And through your words, through your life and your example, they discover Jesus too. Or maybe as you're talking to them, you invite them to church with you and they come, or you invite them to join in your small group, or you invite them to an event, something we do here, or maybe you're a student, you invite them to go to camp with you or a retreat. And there they learn about Jesus. They discover faith in Jesus. They step over the line of faith and they begin developing their faith, and then they share with someone else. That's how it happens. Look back at the triangle again, the disciple-making triangle. All of us are somewhere on that mostly, okay? If you're brand new to the faith, or you haven't decided yet whether or not you're going to choose to follow Jesus Christ and step over that line of faith, you're in the discover phase just because you're here. You're checking things out. But as you discover, we'll try to help you. We'll try to guide you more and more. But eventually, the goal will be that you begin to guide yourself. You become a self-feeder. And maybe you're mostly on the develop phase right now. It doesn't matter so much where you are. You can move in and out. You can go from discover to deploy and then back to develop. What really matters is that you're moving along this pathway. But eventually, we need all of you to get to that deploy phase where you guide others, because that's how it works. That's what we do. Here's why. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn over to 1 Peter 4:10. It's further down in your Bible. 1 Peter 4:10. Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, said, Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others. That's why we say everybody serves. I want you to look at that phrase, gift you have received. Scholars who study the Bible their entire lives disagree on what that gift is, that gift you have received. Some believe it is the gift of salvation, where you have forgiveness of your sins and the guarantee of eternal life and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. They think of it that as being that gift. Others say, no, this is probably some spiritual gift that God gives you after you become a follower of Jesus Christ. I tend to agree with the latter. I think it's more than that. But one thing is certain. This gift that you receive, it's not a natural ability. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives you. It's not natural. It is supernatural. The gift that all Christ followers have is something you can't control. You can't control what gift God gives you or gifts God gives you. You can ask for it. The Bible does say you can ask for certain spiritual gifts. No guarantee you'll get them. But what matters most is what you do with the gifts that you've been given. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given some kind of a spiritual gift. Listen, don't worry about what you don't know or what gift you don't have. Just share what you do know with others about Jesus, and share in a way that is natural to you. We're not big on you memorizing a lot of plans and methods to do things. We're more interested in you just being you and looking to see how God has crafted you and created you. You don't have to have an impressive job or some powerful position to guide others, just a willingness to love God and point others to him. You can do it right here. When we talk about this deploy, this third phase, deploy is both evangelism, which is inviting people to meet Jesus. Don't make it more complicated than it is. It's both evangelism and it's discipleship, sharing what you know so you help others grow. Well, here's something else you need to understand about this gift you have been received that Peter talks about. Your mission, the mission to use the gifts you've been given, your mission is given. It's not chosen. We don't choose the mission. Like I said earlier, you move around the disciple-making pathway, but the goal is ultimately to land on the deploy phase, okay? There's an objective purpose to your life that you did not set. God did. God set your mission for you, and that mission is, we call it the Great Commission. It's the last thing that Jesus said to his followers and disciples after his crucifixion, resurrection, and before he ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back to earth to indwell us and live in those of us who have stepped over the line of faith. We call it the Great Commission. It's the mission that we join when we follow Jesus. Look back to Matthew 28, flipping back in your Bible if you're following along. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus said these words. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Make disciples, disciple making. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. This is our mission, Brazos Point. This is our deployment. These are our deployment orders. Every Christ follower is a disciple, and every disciple is a disciple maker. Even a fifth grader can be a disciple maker. Now, how we deploy, the roles we assume, get this, they're limitless. As creative and different as God has made each of us, our roles, the way we deploy, those are different for everyone. There's not a one-size-fits-all. God has given us this deploy, this idea that we start serving somewhere. And when you find that place that fits you just right, I call that the sweet spot of ministry. You'll know you're in the right place. You may start serving in some area and you go, "Man, this is just not my thing. I'm not cut out for this." No harm, no foul. Step away from that and then find something else. But don't stay away. A lot of people have stepped away from ministries that they were serving in before the shutdown, and you've come back, but you said, "Hey, I'm not going to serve in that." That's okay. Find something else. Don't just come and sit and soak. Everybody serves. You were made to serve. Find that place where you serve. When you find that place, you'll experience two things: fulfillment and fruitfulness. You'll like it. You'll like what you're doing, and you'll be fruitful. You'll see that it helps others. Keep looking till you find that place, that sweet spot. Now, God has given us, let me tell you why this is so important now. God has given us a greater and grander vision for Brazos Point Fellowship. We are still, our vision is still the church for the unchurched, but God has given us a goal to reach by 2026, when we turn 25 years old. It's a goal that I've been kind of talking about and hinting at since January, but I want to introduce it to you today. We've been working on this vision since before the shutdown, but that time that we had gave us the opportunity, gave us clarity in the time to really develop some of these tools we're talking about. That's what the disciple-making path came out of. We know that we've met the vision to be a church for the unchurched. That was met early on in our 20-year history. Although there are more and more unchurched to reach, so we still have lots of work to do. But God has given us a grander mission that's beyond just what we do here at the Brazoria Road campus or at the Mid-County campus. There's so much more. And we've been doing a lot of that, but we want to do much, much more. We call it our 2026 vision. Brazos Point Fellowship's 2026 vision. Okay, folks, this is it. It is to send people across Brazoria County, all over the county, not just southern and central, but all over Brazoria County and around the world to engage thousands of people with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and to multiply scores of churches, both locally and globally. This is what keeps me up at night, and this is what I get out of bed in the morning to work on. We can count. We could say in some ways, "Well, we've done that. I mean, you know, we've reached thousands." Yes, we've reached a few thousands with the gospel here in southern Brazoria County. We've done that, but not thousands. And we've either started or helped start a score of churches, more than 20 in our first 20 years of history, more than one a year. We've helped start churches, but not scores of churches. We're not just talking about ones we would start on our own, but ones we would help other partners to start. That is a vision that'll take a lot of work to get to, and it won't happen if we're not all deployed. Here's deploy. You got others. Here's our 2026 vision, scores of churches, thousands and thousands of people, both in Brazoria County and beyond, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. How will you be sent? Across the county, or across the country, or around the world? Well, as I said earlier, how you're deployed, the opportunities are limitless. That's up to God. But it's not complicated. It will feel more natural to you than you probably think. How will you be deployed? Well, let me just give you some examples. Some of you are going to be deployed from here, out those doors, across the foyer, and into our next gen area to help guide the children of the unchurched that many of you have invited to come and discover faith in God. And those kids are discovering faith in Jesus too. Many of you have already deployed there. We have a lot of people serving in Next Gen Ministries, but we need a lot more because as more and more folks are coming back, more and more families are coming back, not all the people who were serving there have chosen to continue serving. We need more of you to reach those kids. God has blessed us with a lot of young families. We need everybody to serve in some way or another. Some of you will not deploy there, but some of you will actually leave this fellowship and join another fellowship, like West Oaks in West Columbia. That's a church that we didn't start that church, but we talked to Cody when he was thinking about planting that church, and we said, man, I love what you're doing. They're a church for the unchurched too. We're excited about what they're doing there in West Columbia and the west of the Brazos area. And when some of the people in our church felt the pull to go join them there, we sent them with our blessings. If you haven't figured it out yet, we are much more concerned here at Brazos Point with our sending capacity than our seating capacity. We want to send people, whether it's across the foyer or across the river or even other places. We'd like to deploy more of you to our mid-county campus, especially those of you who live in and around Angleton. We need your relationships that are there to leverage those relationships for folks there. Just about every single person who's a member of Brazos Point Fellowship and going to the Mid-County campus is serving in some capacity on Sunday mornings. They're all serving, all but just one or two, and some of them, their spouses are serving, and they've got a lot of kids. And that's not counting some of the other areas many of them serve in as well, but they're all serving on Sunday morning, but they have more kids than they can handle. We need to deploy more people over there to Mid-County to guide those children. Not all of you will deploy to the places I've told you. Some of you are going to deploy back to the A.P. Boydell building when that opens back up for work. Some of you will deploy to A.P. Boydell campus where you teach, where you go to school, or where you're an administrator, or some of the other campuses, or some of the other buildings, offices, plants around here. That's where you will engage unchurched people. And that's where God will show you how to introduce Jesus to them and let them meet Jesus and bring them along. This is deploy. Invite someone along with you. Don't overcomplicate it. Just tell them what you know. Ask Jesus to show you those opportunities to share your faith, to invite someone here. Some of you will deploy as leaders or hosts of small groups, student ministry small groups, or adult small groups. Some of you sitting right here right now, God is already touching your heart and you're beginning to have the desire to deploy across the country, maybe to a place like Seattle, where Stephen and Jessica Searles moved to this past summer. And Stephen was sitting right here when he felt God calling him to deploy someday to Seattle. And some of you may deploy with them. You may move to Seattle to help them plant a church. Some of you will get jobs there. Or maybe some of you students will go to and go to UW, University of Washington, become a Husky. And you'll be there just so you can serve on a plant team. Some of you may be pastors of other churches there or in other places. Some of you guys are going to deploy to a hunting camp this fall where you're sitting around the fire with a great conversation going on, and you'll see the opportunity, not forced, but just to tell people about what Jesus has done in your life. And as you sit around that fire with friends and people who trust you, you'll be able to tell them not what you don't know, but what you do know and how Jesus has made a difference in your life. Don't worry about what to say. Jesus will give you the words as you deploy. We'll send some of you around the world. Some of you are going to move to another country like Kevin and Lauren did as they moved back to Southeast Asia this past December. And some of you may go with them. They're going to have internships where people come and live for a while there with them in Southeast Asia and working in their sports camp. Some of you have gifts and skills that God has given you that you can help and deploy with them. And someday some of you may call someplace like Southeast Asia or another part of the world home instead of Brazoria County. You'll be expats. You don't get that. Anyway, expat, oh well. Maybe you'll go overseas for short term. Like Allie White. You might remember her. Allie White was one of our interns. Allie moved here from South Carolina. She didn't grow up in this church. But she heard through the 410 Bridge, one of our partners, one of our international partners, she heard that we were a sending church. We are. And she wanted to be able to go to a church. The one she went to wasn't like ours, and it wasn't interested in sending people overseas. She wanted to go to a church that would send her overseas to Africa, and we did. And now she is a two-year journeyman with the International Mission Board, another one of our partners, our chief international partner in sending. Just think about where God will send you, really close or maybe really far away, but you'll want to, because when you feel that, when you understand that call, like I said, it will pull you towards that. And more, you will want to get to work on that. Engaging thousands with the gospel, helping mobilize scores of churches, both locally and globally. That's the ploy. That's the vision God has given us. And that's the vision that will bring more joy and meaning and fulfillment to your life than you can imagine yet. I pray you find that direction soon. Let's pray. God, thank you for including us in your great mission. Lord, thank you for the great salvation that you've given us, the forgiveness of our sins, the freedom from the guilt that we don't have to live with, the realization that none of us is going to be perfect. We're not going to get it. We're never going to be able to make it on our own, but you will carry us. You will lead us. God, I pray for those that are just on the front end of faith that you'll help them discover more and more about you. I pray for those who have discovered faith in you and maybe just haven't developed that faith, that they'll begin to develop their faith and they will take ownership and learn to guide themselves and feed themselves spiritually. And God, I pray that all that would lead us to deploy, to share our faith with others, wherever we are, at whatever stage we are in our pathway, or that we will see the opportunities that you give us to deploy, to guide others, to invite them along the way with us. Show us how to do it, Lord. Give us direction. God, help us remember it's not about us, but it's about this great kingdom of yours that you allow us to be a part of. Help us take our next steps, Father. Help us to see them. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I've asked Michelle Masterson. She is our Connections Minister, and she's probably the one that is mostly been given most of the responsibility to help us deploy and get us not just sitting in seats, but back out serving somewhere. So I want her to explain kind of how this deploy can work, and especially how it can work as you become a disciple maker.
Sure. So today finishes up our Made for More message series, which has been all about unpacking each phase of the disciple-making pathway. And hopefully you've noticed that that pathway is all about next steps. And like Greg said, we have got folks in our church who are at every point on that pathway, and that's how it should be. So maybe some of you on the Discover Week, maybe you discovered faith in Jesus, or maybe you discovered that this is a safe place to ask your questions about faith as we guide you. And then maybe last week in the develop phase, you realized that you need to grow in your faith or connect with some resources as you guide you. And our hope for this week, for the deploy week, is that some of you recognize that you have a next step to take, and that next step is you guiding others to take their next steps with God. And like Greg said, and I think this is huge, the way that looks, the way you live that out, the way you live deployed is limitless. That can look a bajillion different ways. But also, we do need you to guide others to take next steps. Here's the deal, y'all. We know what life can feel like, and so we know that people need the hope that we have. So we want you to live deployed in your neighborhood, your schools, your workplace, and we also want you to live deployed here, because our church is in kind of, you know, there's been kind of a shift happening, you know, as we're coming out of the 2020 fog and all that. Our church is in this, I think, really exciting place of almost getting to relaunch, but with 20 years of learning under our belt. And so that is just, I think it's so exciting. And if you're in this room, welcome to the launch team, and we need you. And so what this sheet in your chair is all about, so these are volunteer opportunities that we need yesterday. And so a lot of these opportunities are disciple-making opportunities. Here's a hint: if the phrase small group leader is in the volunteer opportunity, that is a disciple-making opportunity. But we need you guys to step into all of these things. And so we hope that you'll consider that. And if you know that you're ready to take that next step, just give that QR code a shot with your camera, and or you can come to the Next Step Center and I'll help walk you through it. But if you're ready to take that next step, go ahead and do that. If you're not quite ready or you don't know what that next step is, take this home, pray about it, or it could be anything else that was on the pathway. But we just, even though being deployed is about much more than serving, being deployed is about much more than being a volunteer at Brazos Point Fellowship. We also know that some of you want an immediate next step to take, and you want to know what the needs are. So we wanted to make sure you had this.